FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
And you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. The date, it's Cinco de Mayo, a holiday that people down south of the border don't even celebrate, but that doesn't stop Americans. And we are celebrating it with none other than Mickey Fulp. It is time for Mickey's monthly major market review. We're going back over the action for April of 2015. Mickey, welcome.
Hi, Carrie. How are you?
All right. So lots of great things happened in April, right?
Not a lot happened in April for the most part, at least in the markets. A month of really low volatility, and that just doesn't get us excited very much at all. The major markets were all up a little bit, less than 1%, and they just seem to be vacillating and range bound for the entire 2015 so far. Small caps were down 2.6%. Oil was stronger, which led to the Toronto Venture Exchange being up about 2%. It's probably not a very well-known fact, but 50% of Canada's export revenues are from oil. So a stronger oil price is likely the reason the Toronto Stock Exchange was up. The Venture Exchange is still in the doldrums. It was flat, still hovering a little less than 700. Not a lot of interest in that market. And finally, the best performer in the markets was the Emerging Market Index. And the one we cover is the MSCI, and that's a large and medium cap Emerging Markets Index. And I think that can be directly attributable to the high U.S. dollar, which is good for exports, or if you want to look at it from our point of view, the U.S. Had a trade deficit that was something well over a year record this month, and that really had to do with the high U.S. dollar. That's good for foreign companies.
Absolutely. So then we look what happened with the dollar, and first down month for the dollar, God, going back almost 8 months here, Mickey.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at it, Carrie. It looks like it's the first down month since June of 2014. So that's 10 months. And it was down 4%, but that was to be expected. I mean, it had such a rapid run up, 10% since first of the year, basically. And so that little correction was needed. Now it ended the month of 94.6, down almost 4%, but that might be somewhat of a sustainable level. And then, of course, the euro marches in lockstep. It was it closed at 1.12, $1.12, with a 4.5% increase. 10-year Treasury bond is still hovering in this plus or minus 2% range for a couple of months, 2.5 months now. Not a lot to be said there. And then Bitcoin. Well, Carrie, we even have low volatility in Bitcoin now. it was down 3% over the month after being down 4% last month. So that is really low volatility for Bitcoin. And its value now at close the month at about 237, and that's its low since it started going exponential in November of 2013.
Yeah. So, what do you think, Mickey? Is this the lull before the storm? This volatility slowdown here?
Well, I don't really think so. We've got now we're in sell and may go away time, but you know that. Over the last 3 or 4 years, unless we had the Greek debacle rear its ugly head it once again, has not really happened. And then we've got the summer doldrums, which historically is a time of low volatility. So My guess is, and it's nothing more than a guess, is we may see this relatively low volumes and low volatility for a few months to go here.
Well, that could very well be the case, but I'll tell you, it's I don't know, when things get this boring, when markets get this boring, I kind of get a little nervous about it, I have to tell you. It's just doesn't seem normal.
Well, here's one thing I will say. I don't think we're going to reach Martin Armstrong's 30,000 on the Dow anytime soon, or 36,000 or whatever he predicted about.
Yeah, I think it was 32,000.
32. Okay, I stand corrected. I don't think we're going to get there. What was it? The end of this year, I think he was saying.
Yeah, it was the end of this year. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So yeah.
We've got a long ways to go there, Kerry.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, what about our metals here? Again, lack of volatility, just kind of the markets are just muddling their way through.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, every time gold kind of gets a little run up, then the dollar seems to get a little stronger or something. So all these metals have basically been treading water. Gold was flat, platinum was flat. Now silver was down 3.5%, basically because of its volatility, I would say. Palladium continues to buck the trend. It really seems to have separated itself from the other precious metals, and that probably has to do with auto demand up almost 6% over the month. And you know, we continue to have strong auto sales, except for electric vehicles. Tesla's not doing so well, huh?
Well, with the price of look, when you got gasoline at right around $2 and change a gallon, people are thinking about SUVs. They're not thinking about econo boxes. You know, they're thinking about get me my V8, my supercharged or turbocharged V8. They're not thinking I want hybrids or electrics.
Yeah. The ratios, gold and silver ratio is still in that plus 70 range. It's closed the month at 73.5. Platinum to gold is still below one. That's anomalous.
Yeah, 4 months now. 4 months.
Yep. And the platinum palladium ratio continues to go down now at 1.47. I'm going to have to go back and look at how long it's been since it's been that low, but quite some time. Yeah. And gold to WTI actually went back below 20, and that really has to do with the strength of oil price.
Mm-hmm. Something's going to give here.
Yep.
Something is going to give.
And copper closed the month at 287, and actually, as I'm looking this morning, it's at 291. And so we're establishing new 2015 highs for copper, and you know, that's to be expected. The supply-demand fundamentals of copper are bullish in the short, medium, and long term. You know, the world still is becoming electrified, and you need copper to do that. We've had supply disruptions in the copper market over the month. We should mention that, I suppose. Big rains in the southern part of the Atacama Desert shut down some of the big copper producers for a period of time. And you know, I was in the Atacama in Chile and southern Peru in 1997. This is an El Nino phenomena, and it's quite amazing when it rains there. You know, it's essentially a moonscape. Nothing grows.
Yeah.
There are certain parts of it you can go from the coast to the top of the Andes and you'll never see a green thing. But when it rains there, that desert becomes completely verdant with greenery everywhere and the most amazing multicolors of wildflowers you've ever seen in your life.
Amazing. And speaking of which, that's what California is starting to look like, that desert that it truly is. I flew in there a couple weeks ago and it was amazing. It was just parched earth with a little bit of green here and there. I'd never seen anything like it. Flying into California the past 45 years of my life, Mickey, 43 years of my life since I've been going there, and I'd never seen anything like it. That drought is really taking its toll. And I expect that one day they're going to have that El Nino effect, and it's going to flood there, and then you're going to see that greenery burst out. And I want to see that. It sounds
well,
amazing.
Well, I can tell you that we are being affected by El Nino in New Mexico. We've had a wet May. There were 5 inches of rain last night on the out in eastern New Mexico. So we're seeing the effects of El Nino already.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll get it in California, because they certainly don't have the political will to deal with the drought, and they haven't planned for it. And they got 10 million more people in the state since the last severe drought they had. And, you know, they're dumping half of their water into the ocean to save this river smelt that is probably extinct already. So go figure.
Wow.
onto energy. So, wow, WTI had quite a move, to say the least, huh?
Well, if there there was one market that was not saddled with low volatility over the month, and that was the oil market. And it's WTI up 25%, closed the month a little less than $60 a barrel. Brent closed just $66 and change, up 21% over the month. Especially in the U.S., the cure for low prices is low prices, Gary. And this is simply a supply-demand market fundamental sort of thing. Oil production starting to come down already in North Dakota and in the Eagle Ford Shale in South Texas. So we've seen that reflected with a rising oil price. And, of course, then we had some significant geopolitical events over the month, and oil always reacts to that. Henry Hub didn't do quite so well. Closed the month at 257, down almost 3%. This is seasonal, sure. No doubt, with high inventories. This is kind of the lull season between the heating demand of the winter and the air conditioning demand of the summer. So we actually would expect Henry Hub prices to rebound a bit over, certainly by the end of June, I would think.
Oh, if the weather in the Northeast is any indication now, it's 80 plus degrees there in early May. So if that's an indication of what's to come for the summer, we could see Henry Hub go substantially higher, but I guess that's going to depend on the inventories. Haven't checked them out recently. They definitely overstocked this winter after the preceding winter, which is why the prices dropped so precipitously, because it was a bad winter in the Northeast, but not as bad as the winter before. So, they're always fighting the last war when it comes to stocking up on nat gas.
Well, it's one thing. The main reason that I would never choose to play the futures market in natural gas or any of the soft commodities. I mean, yeah. If the weatherman can't get it right with a 3-day forecast.
Yeah.
I don't think a layman has any chance of playing with the big boys in the futures market. So
no, you're going to get whipsawed out of there. Don't have a chance.
Yeah,
you just have no chance playing natural gas. Hey, oil, you might, but who foresaw oil prices cratering 60%? You know, the chief economist of ExxonMobil or Royal Dutch Shell, they didn't see it, so you had no chance. So forget it. You have you don't have a prayer speculating more than 3 days ahead in any of those commodities, if you have a chance there. And I mean, I had friends, I grew up in bedroom community of New York City, half of my friends' fathers were involved in the markets, and it wasn't unusual to see sudden shifts in lifestyle as a result of crashes in the commodity markets among my close friends. All of a sudden, yeah, we got to move to a smaller house without the swimming pool and the landscapers and the live-in housekeeper, you know.
I think the only way you make money on that is if you were a trader on the floor barking out orders in on the Chicago Mercantile back in the day.
But yeah.
Finally, uranium lost $3 in the past week and closed the month below $36. It was at 39 and held there for what, 3 months or so, and it's taken quite a dive. There has been some talk about gaming the market at the end of last week. So we're into May here, and we'll see. Was up a little bit yesterday, but this is not good for the uranium market all in all. Finally, our ratios, Brent to WTI is still above 1.1, close the month at 1.12. That's still a pretty good arbitrage. And WTI to Henry Hub went above 20 again, close the month at 22.6.
And it's at these depressed oil prices. So the energy sector is just really a train wreck at this point. How long will it stay there? What's the inventory situation now, Mickey? I mean, every empty hole in Oklahoma and Texas has got oil coming out of it. Is that being reduced now?
You know, I have not seen the inventories over the past week. They were at an all-time 80-year high last time we talked. My guess is that inventories are still really high, and but the fact that the price is bounded up, I mean, it's almost $61 today, which is probably a 4 or 5 month high for oil. Let me look and see when it was. When it really took the dive was back in the month of December. So certainly we're probably at least a 4, if not a 5 month high for oil right now. And that's probably, I would think, fairly sustainable level. You know, I think most shale oil producers will be able to get some sort of net back at $60 a barrel. I think it's been a surprise to everybody in the market how quickly it rebounded. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to cycle back lower, because we saw that happen. It did cycle back to the low $40 range here within the last couple of months. But overall, I think people in the energy market have to be pleased with the direction it's going right now.
Yeah, I think we're going to reach a level at some point, and I think we're getting close to it. But we'll just have to see. You just don't know. These markets, like we were saying, commodities, you just don't know. And on that note, you find Mickey at mercenarygeologist.com. He's got some other sites. Where else do we find you, Mickey?
Mercenarygeologist.fm. We'll have this interview up here in a couple of days on that streaming audio station. And at mercenarygeo, we're now at almost 42,000 Twitter followers.
Oh, wow. Continues to increase geometrically. All right.
Well, our growth has really slowed down in terms of percentages, but we continue to grow. So, you know, we hit 40,000 sometime in January, and now we're up to almost 42,000. So a slow, steady growth in the Twitter following.
Excellent.
We're very happy with that.
All right. And make sure you join us over at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. We're just got so many articles. Our webmaster, Stefan, spends hours a day posting from all over the place. We got Mickey's articles up there regularly. And hey, you just want to sign up, make sure get our weekly newsletter, The War on Cash. We talked about that over a year ago before everybody jumped on the meme bandwagon, and we've got some webinars coming up. And Mickey, we will talk to you in a month or so and see what the market brings in May when you're supposed to sell and go away.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but we shall see. Good talk to you once again, Kerry.
As always, take care, Mickey.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.